This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned for you today. During the first segment, we'll be talking to Dr. Vivian Shelton about how ancestral health is influencing mental health care. This is a really interesting discussion. Then we'll be joined by Brooks Kubik as we talk about exercise regimens for kids. How young, how old is too young or too old? What role does body weight training play? How about using weights? When should your children really start this process of physical culture? We're going to talk about that in just a minute. First, let's get started. Dr. Vivian Shelton, how are you?
Hi, Carl. I'm great. Thank you for having me on.
Right. And we met, Alisa and I met Dr. Shelton at the Ancestral Health Symposium. And when I found out what she was there for, I was thinking, oh, my gosh, this is such an interesting idea to talk about on the show. So, first of all, you are a doctor of psychology, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so people would think, wait a minute, ancestral health is all about nutrition and to some degree physical culture. Where does that play a role in mental health? So what's the Reader's Digest answer to that one when you discuss this with colleagues?
Well, one of the things that I tell people is that you know, the foods that we eat, the nutrition that we put in our bodies affects the, you know, our moods and how we feel. Exercise is also an important, you know, component to and physical fitness to mental health. Also, sleep is very important. Stress management, and also the connection that we have, you know, to ourselves, to other people, and just our overall environment.
Well, wait a minute, Dr. Shelton. It sounds like you're treating the entire person for one situation. This seems very, very contrary in the medical orthodoxy today.
Well, that's the way that I work. That's the way. I mean, I look at it. I mean, the name of my practice is called Evolutionary Well-Being. And I look that we're all evolving, we're changing. We're hopefully getting better at who we are and what we do. And the work that I do with my clients is from an ecological perspective. What I mean by that is looking at the person in the context of their environment. So what's going on for themselves in terms of psychologically, physically, what's going on in their family, what's going on with their peer relations and their communities and their just connection to the world in general.
But wait a minute. Nutrition, what, I mean, I'm being facetious, right? I'm actually, you know, asking rhetorical questions. I'm a traditional psychology major here. What role does what they eat have to do with how they see the world or diseases like psychopathy? I mean, how could that play a role?
Right. Well, I think it goes back to food really does affect the way that we feel, and particularly for people who, I mean, as you know, that we have an epidemic of obesity around the United States and other parts of the world, and that affects a person's mental health. That oftentimes if people are obese, they feel more depressed, more anxious, they may be less connected with other people, they may isolate themselves. And so it is a very important component in terms of having good nutrition and overall health and well-being.
And I agree with you. Obviously, I am being facetious because I understand the linkage between this. Now, you actually work with a very unique segment of people. And that is people who have undergone bariatric surgery, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, I work with a pretty broad range of clients in terms of just people that have been in bariatric surgery. But one of my specialty areas is I work with people who are struggling with obesity and weight management, and specifically a bariatric patients.
Dr. Shelton, we're having some difficulty. I know that the we had to do this from cell phone today. We're having some difficulty. You are dropping out a little bit. Is it possible for you, are there any windows in your office or anything like that where you can might be able to get closer to a window or something?
Yeah, I could try to do that and see if that helps.
Yeah, that might help a lot. I'm sorry, you broke up quite a bit there, so it's worth repeating. What unique situations do individuals who have undergone bariatric surgery have, and how does ancestral health play into that treatment?
Right. Well, it's very interesting because their diet is very that people who are undergoing weight loss surgery need to follow, and it's not only just the prescribed diet, but there's also
I think we've lost Dr. Shelton completely. Dr. Shelton, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, here's what I want to do. I want to go ahead and take a break right now, and we're gonna grab you on this line here and see if we can dial you back up. I think we can do a better job getting you on the air here. So we're gonna take an early break. Sit tight. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
This is one of those things I think it's going to be 30 years from now, and people are going to go, oh, damn, this didn't work out right.
He's serving up an all-you-can-eat buffet of brain food.
It's gotten worse for us who are overweight because we're now paying our fair share for things that we didn't have to before.
Get it while it's hot.
The fact that there's only 50% of the population is obese, that means the other 50% is doing something different.
You're listening to your daily dose of wisdom. Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to oral health problems. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The Advanced 7 Keto and T2 formula with sustained time release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad now. You basically live life thanks to vitamin D. It affects every type of cell and tissue in your body. This is the reason optimizing your vitamin D blood level is essential for healthy living. The most efficient way to optimize your blood level is to take the perfect dose. And the most cost-effective way to determine the perfect dose is through vitamin D blood testing. The vitamin D test for Superhuman Radio is only $30, $17 cheaper than the lowest member price. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to order. You already know that Whey Natural USA is the best whey protein powder from Amish grass pasture fed cows right here in the United States. Well, it's their second anniversary bonanza sale. Now you can get any number of 5 pound jugs of vanilla, chocolate, strawberry, or plain and save 20% when you use the coupon code ANNIV20. There's never anything artificial in Whey Natural USA. Sweetened with stevia and real cocoa, strawberry, or vanilla bean. It's the best, period. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Whey Natural USA banner ad today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wise Choice Medicine. CanSee.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. Okay, Dr. Shelton, you were saying that the diet that bariatric patients are given is very similar to that of an ancestral diet, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And it's not only the diet, but we'll start with the diet. But basically, for bariatric patients, the prescribed diet is what they call a carbohydrate-restricted nutrient-dense diet. So patients are basically told that you eat your proteins first, your vegetables, you can have some fruit. Starchy carbohydrates like the breads, the pastas, the sugars, they have to eliminate from their diet. They also have to, you know, exercise regularly. They also have to take vitamin supplements. And if they don't do any of these things, then they put themselves at risk for gaining the weight back. And the only difference between, for example, the paleo diet and the bariatric diet is fat, in that bariatric patients, after they've had the surgery, may not be able to tolerate the fat as much.
Is that a result of somehow the gallbladder duct not being in the right place any longer to deliver the needed enzymes to break down fat?
Yeah, that may be it. I don't want the medical piece of it. I don't want to go into, but I do know at least, you know, the patients can feel very, you know, ill if they have too much fat in their diet, so they do have to be very careful of that. And for some of the surgeries, if they have, like, for example, if they have the gastric bypass, if they ingest any sugar, then they have what's called dumping syndrome, and they get very sick. So, you know, what's been interesting to me is that basically what bariatric patients have to do, which is very similar to those that prescribe to an ancestral, you know, health lifestyle, is that they have to be, you know, very aware and mindful of the things that they're eating, and they have to be willing to give up certain foods. They have to be willing to do things differently from other people. So for example, you know, just saying, you know what, I'm just eating this because this is the right way for me to eat it.
Right.
There also has to be an element of self-care, where they're doing things that are good for them. And it also has to be a lifestyle change. It's something that they have to do, you know, forever. It's not just a diet. So what I do and the work that I do when I have patients that come back in for their feedback session, and I go through the nutrition portion of it with them, is that I say, you know, this is basically, you know, why you're eating the way that you're eating. And that when the science compares different diets, when they compare a high protein, low carbohydrate diet to the Mediterranean, to a low fat diet, to a calorie restricted diet, that people can lose weight off of any of them, but the most effective in terms of weight loss and also metabolic issues is a high protein, you know, low carbohydrate diet. And that if you look at it from an evolutionary perspective, where you know, hunter gatherers, I mean, they don't have diabetes, they don't have heart disease, they don't have cancer, they don't have cavities, they tend to be lean people. Like, but they need to remember that this is their touchstone. This is why they're eating this way. Otherwise, because what happens is they lose a lot of weight, and then probably about 2 years out, they're going to gain some weight back. And where they don't want it to become a slippery slope is that if, you know, you start going back to the way that you used to eat, then it puts you at risk, of course, for putting the weight back on again.
See, but I was always under the impression that once they had this surgery, that it was impossible for them to put the weight back on.
Because
all of the things that you just spoke to that they must do in order for the surgery to work are all the things that they could have done without the surgery to have lost weight.
Sure. But you have to remember, Carl, we live in a society where, first, we're getting really bad information about, yeah. about food anyway. And I think that what happens is that, you know, I often hear from people, like, they'll say that, you know, I've tried, you know, high-protein diets. Those were the best, you know, that I've done. But the view is looking at it as a diet, like I'm on a diet rather than my diet is.
Right.
So it's very short-term. It's not... You know, the expectation is I can go back to eating the way that I was eating before. And we live in, this is, I think, where looking at it from an ecological perspective comes into place, is that if you look at our, you know, how we're conditioned as a society, it's very difficult. You know, unless you have that touchstone of ancestral health to stay firm with that. Like, because it makes sense. I'm eating this way because this is what works the best and, you know, that people look at it sort of as being on a diet rather than this is just the way that I eat.
Now, when you start to work, okay, so that's the bariatric side of it. When you're working with people who just present traditional clinical issues, perhaps mood issues, depression, these types of things, where most physicians go right to the prescription pad and start writing scripts. Do you try nutritional interventions first as a first line treatment?
I talk, you know, I have to be very careful of the line that I walk because I'm a psychologist. I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not a medical doctor. But what I always encourage my clients to do is to I give them resources. So for example, if they come in and they're talking about how they are using Tylenol PM every night, and I say, well, have you tried looking at any, you know, supplementations? And I give them some links to maybe Mercola or something like that for them to explore.
Right.
And I talk with them also about, you know, really trying to move from, you know, being dependent or having other, you know, other people controlling them or other things controlling them to more independence and internal control so that they're not being so dependent on, you know, on doctors, on medications, where they're doing more, you know, positive self-care practices.
Right, right. So what types of conditions do you see the greatest turnaround or results from by looking? And I know that you work with somebody who does the nutritional side of this, right?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, so I don't want people to think that you're out there giving out menus to people. But when you have what conditions seem to respond the best to some sort of nutritional intervention as a first line of treatment?
You know, Carl, I would say that it may not necessarily be, I mean, what I see is that it's the people that actually want to have more of a sense of independence and internal control. For example, I had a client who came to me who was very anxious, and she was a woman who was aging, and she was very concerned about her health, and she had gained some weight, and you know was concerned about her health condition. But in talking with her and learning about her, that her father was a doctor, she did not want to be on a lot of medications, and really wanted to have more control over her health. And so I was able to refer her to resources and say, well, look at this type of way of eating, and this might help you with manage your weight. It may also help you in terms of feeling less anxious. And she came back to me and she's like, this is really amazing. Like, I'm losing weight. My blood pressure is going down. I'm not having to be on as many medications. And she really wanted to have more of that, you know, of her own control over her aging and her, you know, her health destiny.
And I would imagine that's a salient characteristic of many of us who are in the ancestral health / superhuman movement. And that is that we want to have more control on our destiny and our outcome. We want to be able to say, and in order to do that, we have to focus on the things that we have control on. We don't have control on pharmaceutical drugs or
right.
procedures, but we have control on our diet, on our activities and lifestyles and so on. So it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, and on, you know, on the flip side, I had another client who was, you know, very obese, and she had been for years dependent on doctors and medications, and she had a husband that, you know, was a feeder. He liked to feed her all the time, and she was very anxious and didn't like to be around people. But there was an aspect of it where it was very hard to treat her because she was so used to being in that dependent role. So getting her to move in that direction really wasn't very effective, you know, at the, you know, at the time that I was working with her. And so I think that, that's a piece that, that plays into it. And one of the things that I always try to get my, my clients to look at is really to look at how, you know, how do you want to age? Because oftentimes people don't really think about it. They just think about, well, you know, my parents, you know, died this way, or, you know, they don't think about that they can actually have more control over, you know, some of their health conditions and engage in the self-care activities that would get them to a place. So I would try to have them to think about that. And so it's not just these short-term goals of, you know, I want to lose weight for the wedding, you know, I want to, you know, to have a little bit more longevity in terms of what they'd like to see for themselves.
Yeah, it's interesting, and you talk about that, and that kind of plays back into the discussion we were having about bariatric surgery. It's almost like individuals who receive bariatric surgery, it seems to me from some of this discussion, that it makes their new diet a lifestyle, where before it was just a diet that they were doing for this or for that, and now it's like, well, no, this is how you live now. And it's
right.
And it's sad that that can't be a decision, that has to be surgically... you know, it's almost like the extrinsic value of the surgery is more important than the intrinsic value of it. The fact that they got the surgery means that they have to have this new lifestyle. So whatever tugged them before back off of their good decisions can't do it anymore.
Right. Well, and what I find is that, you know, oftentimes, you know, people make a decision to have, you know, weight loss surgery. Usually it's either, you know, because they've had some sort of health crisis, or they get to a point where they, you know, they realize that they want to be there for it. I mean, what I hear most commonly is, I want to be able to be there for my children and my grandchildren.
Yeah.
I want to be able to be active with them. And that, you know, in order for people to make change, that often, you know, it's because they do it for love for themselves, which could be vanity, it could be health, it could be longevity, or it could be to be loved by others, that they want to be loved by somebody else, or, as I said, being there for their children or their grandchildren, or maybe there's a health crisis of a family member.
Right.
And that sometimes change doesn't happen unless there's a threat or a crisis, but sometimes, you know, somebody may have a crisis, but that's not going to make them change. So, it can be a little bit complicated, and, you know, and I think that in terms of the weight loss surgery, that, you know, they're given an opportunity to lose the weight quickly and also get off some of their medications. But I agree with you that it would be, I think, a lot, because it's not an easy thing for people to go through. There's a lot of things that they have to do and hoops they have to jump through. And if that's why I try to give people, whoever I'm working from, to look at all this through an ancestral health perspective, And maybe, you know, some people will decide, you know what, maybe I don't have to have the surgery. But if people do have the surgery, that they can have that as a touchstone so that,
I don't know why they don't go to a dentist and have their jaw wired, like for a broken jaw. If they don't have the willpower not to eat, why do something so drastic and so permanent as having your digestive system rerouted? Why not have your jaw wired so you can't eat food like you want to eat food? I mean, that alone would make a big difference. And that's a rhetorical question. But, okay, so you also do consultations that you like to call food and mood.
Right.
So talk about that a little bit.
Well, Becky Morris is a nutrition consultant who I work with. And one of the things that, you know, we often run into is that people really struggle with, I don't really know why I can't lose this weight. And so what Becky and I do is that we interview clients, we each interview them, and then we give them just some brief standardized tests. And we look at, okay, well, what may be going on for them psychologically that is getting in the way of them losing weight. And it could be anything from just not having sort of the cognitive awareness in terms of thinking about the foods that they're eating, making certain food choices. It could be that there's emotional eating that's going on. It could be that there's, you know, they're a person that really experiences more hunger than the average person.
Mm-hmm.
And then what Becky does is that she looks at it from, you know, a nutritional side in terms of, you know, how are they eating? And she's like-minded, which I love, because for a long time I felt like I was working with only one arm. And so, you know, we talk about the importance of fat and diet, and she talks about inflammation and, you know, all of these things. And so we're, you know, basically trying to work with, you know, people and, you know, together, but in a different way to get people on the right path in terms of weight loss and management.
You know, it's amazing how just fat alone must have a profound effect on some people. And the sad part is that we've become such a fat phobic society. It's just ridiculous. Do you have colleagues that you communicate with and they look at you like you have two heads, or are most of your colleagues open to the possibility of this, but they just, for whatever reason, haven't taken the plunge in maybe incorporating it into their practice?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, I think that most people are somewhat open to, but you know, it's interesting because even being at the Ancestral Health Symposium and talking to other healthcare professionals, it's very difficult talking about like food and nutrition because people are so sensitive about it. And then you're also going up against, you know, the people, you know, there's certain roles of the, particularly dietitians. I remember talking with one of the physicians there, and he was saying that he basically has to talk to his clients on the side because it goes against what a lot of the, you know, the information that the nutritionist, or not the nutritionist, but the dietitian is giving the patient.
Right.
So it's really crazy, you know, and you know, I don't know. I mean, no wonder that clients and patients tend to be very confused, and that people.
Well, and no wonder why. I have so many people who say to me, but I eat healthy. I don't understand why I have this disease. I eat healthy.
Right.
I don't understand why I can't lose weight. I eat healthy. I don't understand why I don't feel good. And, you know, I asked that question at Ancestral Health Symposium. I sat in on a panel discussion with a group of individuals who were talking about how each of them in their own individual practices, one guy was a rehab guy and so on, and they were all talking about how they used an ancestral diet to help people achieve better results in all these different areas of allied health. And I stood up and I said, what happens when you give this advice to someone and then they speak to someone who is a traditional, you know, American Dietetic Association member, and they say, oh no, you don't want to cut out grains, and oh no, like, what do you do when you get into that tug of war where the patient's in the middle and the mantra wants to keep producing its mantra, and you're saying, no, that's not going to work for you. Do you just give up? Do you throw your hands up? Do you challenge the person across the table who's saying, no, you know, eat all these grains and eat this and eat that? What do you do? That's got to be the frustrating part, because most people don't believe this message because there is such a preponderance of noise on the other side saying, no, grains are good. You should be eating lots of grains and corn, and soy is good. And it's like, you know, how do you fight against that?
Right, right. I don't have the answer for it. You know, that's why I always, you know, encourage my patients is to be, you know, skeptical and to be critical and to read as much as they can, and don't be as reliant and dependent on the medical profession. I mean, to use their minds and their resources, but it also is very challenging because there's a lot of different kinds of resources that are out there. So I always just try to channel them into to this approach and this way of thinking.
I did an interview this morning about grains, and at the end of the interview for another venue, at the end of the interview, I said, look, I have no financial vested interest in whether or not you eat wheat or don't eat wheat. I said.
Right.
So think
right.
about that. Now, the people out there that are trying to promote that you eat wheat, do they have a vested interest in it? You know, government agencies that invest in wheat that need their investment back, the companies that promote wheat-based products who want to, you know, call it heart healthy and everything like that, they are the ones you need to question, not me.
Right. Well, and it's the same thing, I mean, going back to, you know, with the diet industry and also the bariatric industry as well, too, in terms of that there's a lot of, you know, different kinds of, you know, protein shakes and powders. And I'm definitely not against that, but basically saying to people, but what is in that, those, you know, protein shakes? It's protein. So really that you want to use this as your touchstone, that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be marketing you know, things to you, telling you that it's good for you, but it doesn't necessarily mean that, I mean, you know, that just, you know, look at whole foods that you're eating, you know, not, you know, the processed foods, remembering that framework in terms of protein, vegetables, fruits, cutting out the starchy carbohydrates and the sugars, and you'll be golden.
Right, right.
And if they have the ancestral health as a touchstone, they can say, okay, well, that, you know, that makes sense. It's not just because somebody else is telling me to do it. It's because that's, you know, that's real.
What we're coming towards the end of the interview, and I want to plug the website again real quick, but what can people do if they're working with a clinician and they're outside the state? Is there any help that you can provide, even though you're based in Virginia, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people are more than welcome to. I do phone consultations. If you want me to come in and talk, I'm more than willing to do that. Feel free to give me, you know, contact me, and we can see how we can work together.
The website is evolutionarywellbeing.org, and I love this. Psychological and counseling services for optimal health, physical relational health. I'm stumbling over my words. I actually have my hand, my chin on my hand. That's why I'm not able to talk right now. You know, the interesting thing about this is that what you're saying is really what most doctors should be looking at, and that is treating the entire patient and not treating a symptom. The symptom is the red flag that something is wrong. It is not the end result of what needs to be treated. I love what you're doing, Dr. Vivian Shelton. I want to thank you so much for making time to come on the air.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Okay, take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
The website, again, is evolutionarywellbeing.org. Go there and check it out. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll have Brooks Kubik on the line. So what do you do about your kids? Your son, your daughter, they want to start training. Is it too soon to indoctrinate them into a world of physical culture? We'll find out when we come back.
It's interesting what we consider a reason to get angry.
He's a military strategist on health.
Merck, the pharmaceutical company, killed 55,000 people with Vioxx. They knew that it had a problem, and they sold it to people anyway, and 55,000 plus people died taking Vioxx.
He's Carl Lenore.
Why isn't this current administration going, we need to go to White House Station, New Jersey, where the Merck headquarters is, and send the military in there? We need to bomb Merck, because they killed 55,000 Americans knowing that they were going to kill 55,000 Americans.
On Superhuman Radio.
Where is the outrage about that?
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today. Extreme Formulations is the only company with a dairy protein product with a disclosed 50% whey to 50% micellar casein ratio. It's Ultra Peptide 2.0. It comes in 9 amazing flavors, including the newest lemon pie and butterscotch. Get free shipping on any order size inside the USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ultra Peptide 2.0 banner ad now. Canadian listeners can also get free shipping on two or more jugs of Ultra Peptide
Peptide 2.0. Don't wait too long because this special won't last. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad today.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Bio Age banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
I'm going to have to change this thing, so let's stop it for a second.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, let's do it. Let's do this interview with Brooks Kubik. That's what we're going to do. So Brooks just informed me, since we are a live show, and I did pull it up on the Washington Post website, that there was a shooting at the Washington Navy Yard. It looks like several people were either shot and injured by guys wearing fatigues or something like that. So we're keeping an eye on this news as it goes along. Very, very sad to hear to those who work at the Navy Yard. Brooks Kubik, how are you?
Well, other than, you know, being concerned about this, as you know, I'm sure so many others are around the world, you know, doing good. It's Monday. Had a great weekend here in Louisville, and you know, ready to, you know, get the week rolling.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about something also equally important. And this was a question that arose over the weekend at my friend Dave Buchanan's home. And he's got a young son named AJ, and he and his wife April, and AJ wants to start working out, and he wants to start building muscle, and so we started talking about this, and you know, AJ is, I think he's 12, and I thought, you know, I wonder what age is too young, what age is the right age to indoctrinate a child into physical culture, and then, should they start out with body weight training or what? So do you have an opinion, first of all, about age of indoctrination?
Well, the word indoctrination is interesting.
Well, you know what I mean, because we want them to become, because you hope that once bitten, they will do this for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. Well, I have kind of an unusual slant on this, and I need to say, by way of disclaimer, I have three stepchildren. I have no biological children of my own. So I never raised a child from, you know, day one forward. So, you know, take everything that I'm going to say with that in mind. But I have had over the years just, you know, tremendous number of reports of parents, usually fathers, although that's simply because more of my readers are men than women, but tremendous number of readers over the years who have trained at home, which, you know, of course, is often a lot easier in terms of your schedule when you have a young one, a newborn. And they often do things like, let's say they're training out in the garage, have the power rack and the weights out in the garage. They bring the little guy or the little girl in the little carrying basket, set up the playpen, whatever, and they just park them there. And one of their very first experiences in life is just sitting there while daddy trains.
Right.
Or while mom trains. And the kids just absolutely love that. I've had endless reports, Daddy, what are you doing? I'm doing dinosaur training. Oh, I want to do dinosaur, you know, because kids right. love dinosaurs, right? You know?
Right.
And, you know, I get photographs of, you know, here's little Johnny, he's trying to do his first push-up, here's little Johnny, he's trying to do this, here's little Johnny, he's trying to do that. And you know, the point is that little Johnny is watching his parents, and hopefully he is seeing his parents training, exercising, working out, having fun doing it. Hopefully he's not seeing them smoke, drink,
well, and
overeat,
while you're telling the story, I'm thinking to myself, you know, on Casual Friday this past week, we talked about, you know, how, kids learn from their parents, you know, to be obese. Chances are if you have a 12-year-old that's tipping the scales at 160 pounds, you probably have two parents in that house, or at least one parent in that house that's got a real big problem with obesity. It's a learned behavior.
Absolutely.
You very rarely see, a really, really, really heavy kid, with two parents who are physically fit, active, and eating an ancestral diet and training all the time, and then little Johnny's, you know, four times the size of the average 12-year-old.
Yeah, and it's exactly the same way. I mean, you know, you want to develop good habits at a very, very early age, and you have to understand that, you know, as the parent, you are the role model. So, you know, the kids are going to follow what you're doing. And that is one of the most important reasons for lifelong strength and health, lifelong physical culture, training your entire life, not trying to win the Olympics. And, you know, if you don't win the Olympics by the time you're 30, you say, okay, that's it, I'm done, I'm never going to train anymore, there's no point to it. You know, baloney. You know, if you have children, you owe it to your children to set a really, truly awesome example. If you're my age, if you're a grandparent and mom and dad aren't doing that, guess what, grandpa, guess what, grandma, it's your responsibility to do that, you know? I mean, it just never stops. It's far too important to children. I mean, it literally makes, you know, it makes all the difference in their life. So you need to teach them to eat right, you need to teach them to exercise, you need to have them understand that exercise is fun. Now, does that mean that, you know, little Johnny should start lifting weights when he's 4 or when he's 5 or when he's 10? You know, that's the question everybody asks. And the answer to that is you want children doing all kinds of physical things that are appropriate to their age and their physical development. They don't need to go lifting weights. They don't even need to do body weight training. They don't need to do anything that might be viewed as a chore,
mm-hmm.
or work or something that is not fun. Instead, what you want to do is you want to develop a wide variety of physical skills through things that are fun. You know, running, skipping, tumbling, rolling around in the grass, swimming, riding a bike, riding a big boy or a big girl bike when they're a little bit older. You want to teach them how to skate, you want to, you know, sledding in the wintertime, skating when they're old enough to skate, roller skating, ice skating. You just want them doing everything. And, you know, if they're going to school and they have an organized sports program, you want them in, you know, all of the different sports activities and not focusing on any one thing. You know, you don't want to be developing little Johnny to be a, you know, middle linebacker from age 5 forward. Instead, you want him to try everything and develop everything and learn all of the physical skills, learn how to control the body, how to move the body, you know, learn what different kinds of sports are like, you know, learn the difference intuitively, you know, from a physical point of view, you know, learn the difference between, you know, running sports and sports that are not running oriented, you know, learn how to throw things, do all kinds of things. You know, you also, and people appreciate this, you want the kids working in the yard. You want them pushing a lawnmower. You want them digging. You want them Weeding.
Sawing. Weeding.
Weeding.
Weeding is a pain in the neck. Have your kids do it.
Yeah. Well, but you know what? It's also a pretty good exercise at the right age. You know, bending over, grabbing, pulling. You know, you got to brace, got to do this, got to do that. That's the kind of thing that you want to develop. And it takes a wide variety of things. You want children to grow up with a very broad base of physical education in the true sense of the word. That is what is going to lay the groundwork for the first real workouts, which probably is, you know, sort of the focus.
Okay,
but that
is it, because, you know, AJ said, you know, he's going to the gym 3 days a week, the Y, with his mom,
mm-hmm.
and he's training, and he's feeling some soreness from his training,
mm-hmm.
but he wants muscle. He said it. He said, you know, I'm working hard, but I don't see any muscle growing. We talked about his diet a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but obviously it made me start thinking, like, how old is old enough when a child specifically says, you know, I want to work on my physique. I want to, and I know somebody who's already doing, I mean, probably thinking this way. So, Dr. William Seeds is a talented, amazing orthopedic surgeon. He's got a young son that we talk about on the show from time to time, little Billy Seeds. And I know that mm-hmm. Billy stays in the gym with his dad. His dad has a gym at home. And just like you said before, you know, his dad is training. And I would imagine that Billy is starting to do body weight stuff already because he's chomping at the bit. He wants to be like dad. So when do you just, I mean, can you take a kid who's 9, 10 years old and he's already doing the other things that are not, you know, quote unquote, sports specific, training, and say, sure, you can do body weight squats, you can do push ups, you can do crunches, you can do burpees, you can do pull ups if the apparatus presents itself to do it. Can a 9-year-old, 10-year-old, 11-year-old start doing those things?
Yes, absolutely. The point, though, is you don't want it to be don't want it to be painful. You don't want it to be a chore. You don't want it ever to not be fun.
Mm-hmm.
You want it to be completely enjoyable, and you want to make it very easy. You know, don't say do 50 push-ups. You know, say do one. That's good. Can you do two? I can do two. Can you do five? Make it progressive. You know, teach progression. You know, one of the things that you want to teach them is that you start out with the ability to do something at one level,
mm-hmm.
and you improve it. And so you want to teach that because you want to build, you want to inculcate the success habit. You want the kid to learn, on Monday I did 2 push-ups. On Wednesday I did 2 push-ups. But on Friday I did 3 push-ups. Because I'm getting stronger. And next week, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get up to where I can do 5 push-ups.
Wow, yeah.
Because I'm going to get stronger. You want them thinking along those lines. That is as important as the physical part.
Yeah.
And you know, if you're a parent, if you're a teacher, if you're a coach, you know, you don't just send the kid to the gym and let them, you know, struggle and push and sweat and strain. That's not at all what you want to do. You want to program for success. And that's physical programming, and it's mental programming.
But it's got to
be very light and building and progressing.
And you make a really good, a very important point. They're kids. If they're not enjoying it, they're not gonna do it. They may do it for a while because you want them to, but they're not gonna. If they learn to love it, they'll do it when they're by themselves and no one's telling them to.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. In the meantime, go to BrooksCubic, KUBIK.com, to read much of the brilliant writing of Brooks Cubic. Check out his books. Brooks is the keeper of the flame of physical culture, and he is the only person I know that writes fiction about physical culture. Some fantastic books there. Sometimes it's just good to read some fiction and kind of get out of your own head for a while. You can do that by reading some of Brooks' fantastic fictional books that you'll find there. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
He's asking the hard questions.
Where are the convictions for the drugs that are being used right now that are killing people?
The government is too afraid to answer.
You see all the attorneys. Hey, if you develop cancer after taking this supplement, call our law office because we got a class action suit coming together.
Carl Lenore.
What's wrong with you people?
On Superhuman Radio.
Electronic muscle stimulation is state-of-the-art for pain management and muscle recovery. Now from ABC Medical comes the Pain Pod. Pain Pod is a professional strength EMS unit and provides 12 therapeutic modes and 20 intensity settings. It comes with everything you need. Small, convenient, rechargeable, and portable. But make no mistake, Pain Pod delivers commercial-grade strength for immediate pain relief. The Pain Pod normally sells for $349, but for a limited time, the Superhuman Nation can get the Pain Pod for only $200, including shipping. Pain Pod comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Pain Pod banner ad today to learn more.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Get a free jug of BCAA Extended Performance. That's a $26 freebie when you buy Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Intense, the safest, most effective pre-workout alternative to DMAA. Intense is designed to quickly boost focused energy in a great-tasting formula free of aspartame or ACE-K. Only half the caffeine of top-selling concentrated pre-workout formulas on the market. Intense delivers unparalleled mental focus and energy to power your workouts. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Intense banner ad and use coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out getds.com.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with Brooks Kubik. We're talking about getting kids involved in physical culture. So let's say your kid says, you know, I'm pulling weeds, Dad. I'm playing sports. I'm enjoying myself. And this is what happens. And I remember being a 12-year-old boy, too. You're in school, right? The kids who are athletic, they're playing sports, they're muscular, and boys want to be muscular. It's natural to want to be able to convey that you are strong. It's part of our genetic makeup. So your child comes to you and says, Dad, Mom, I want to start working out. I want to have a nice physique. I want to add muscle. I want to look strong. Where do you start with them? Do you start with a body weight training program? For some reason, I think that's the place to start. Am I wrong?
Well, a lot of people like to start with a body weight program because you're putting less weight on the joints, less weight on the bones. And, you know, people are concerned about having too much weight on the
young bones,
on the young bones, the young skeleton. Okay. Now, that's fine, but the body weight options are relatively limited for, you know, your typical, you know, 10, 11, 12 year old is probably going to be able to do some body weight exercises, but a fairly limited number. And so you're going to have the problem of boredom setting in because it's a limited number of exercises. And more importantly, you're going to have a progression problem because you'll start out with 5 push-ups and 10 deep knee bends or whatever, and eventually you get up to, what, 25 push-ups, 50 push-ups, 50 deep knee bends, 75, 100, you know, whatever the number is. The point is, at some point, it doesn't work very well to simply progress based on adding repetitions.
Right.
Or adding sets. So what do you do then? Well, you know, I think that progressive resistance comes into play at that point, but I want to emphasize that we're talking about really, really light poundages. The best thing to do, in my opinion, is to set up a gym at home. It doesn't have to be expensive, and particularly if you're setting it up for a son or daughter or son and daughter, you know, they're not going to be using heavy weights, heavy poundages, and so you don't have to buy a lot of equipment. You can do perfectly well with homemade weights. You know, remember those, the broomstick and
with
the
coffee
the cans,
yeah.
The coffee cans
yeah.
With the concrete. I mean,
sure.
You know, that's a very good way to start. Another way is simply, you know, go to Dick's Sporting Goods store or, you know, anywhere where you can buy inexpensive weights. You don't need an Olympic barbell. Just, and you shouldn't actually, because Olympic barbells are either 44 pounds or 45 pounds.
45, yeah.
Far too heavy for a young person starting out. What you want is a small 5 foot long, maybe even 4 foot long bar. Bar ought to weigh 5 pounds, 10 pounds, 15 pounds, collars, iron plates, and you're off and running. And you know that's what you want for the young person. They can do bench presses lying on their back on the floor. You can get a bench later, but you know that's not critical right away, particularly if they're doing push-ups. They don't even need squat racks if you're there while they're training, because you can help put the bar onto the shoulders and take it off when they're done. You know, remember, I'm talking about very, very light weights to get them started.
Right.
And I really like the idea of training at home on a proper program. Not going to a gym somewhere, not hanging out with the other kids, because then it becomes immediately, you know, who can lift the most weight overhead?
Right.
I mean, you know, all of us have been there. We, you know, in my day, Carl, in our day, I guess I should say, was the 110-pound barbell set from Sears.
Right.
And, you know, we all knew someone who had one of those. And we all know that we would all end up at that guy's house, and everybody would try to load the bar up and see what they could lift. And looking back, it was incredibly foolish. There was no point to it at all. We were not training. We certainly didn't know how to lift properly. I mean, we were accidents waiting to happen. And the only reason we didn't hurt ourselves, you know, I guess perhaps some people did, but you know, the reason we didn't have serious injuries is that, you know, the weights, even though they were as much as we could lift, they weren't very heavy. I'm talking about 40 or 50 or 60 pounds.
Right.
And we didn't do it very often. We just did it once in a while because we weren't training. We were just, if I can use a technical term, screwing around.
Technical term. That's funny.
Yeah. So, you know, but you want training, and you want the entire body trained. You want the young person doing squats. You want him doing deadlifts. You want him doing standing presses. You want him doing barbell bent over rowing. You want him doing curls, bench press. You want him using dumbbells, using all the good dumbbell exercises, and pull-ups if they can work the pull-ups in. You want him doing sit-ups. You want him doing leg raises. You want them doing all the things that they wouldn't do if they were just going to a gym. Because if they go to a gym, guaranteed, they're going to do bench presses, they're going to do curls, they might do pull-downs on a lat machine, and that's all they're going to do. They're never going to work their legs, they're never going to work their lower body, never going to do deadlifts, never going to work their back. They're going to stand in front of a mirror and look at their biceps and look at their pecs and think, I need to do curls and I need to do bench presses. And that's all they're going to do. And that's a complete waste of time. And turning your kid loose to do that is not, dare I say it, proper parenting.
Mm.
And, you know, simply buying a membership to a gym and saying, you know, here, little Johnny, go over, you know, go train, you know, that's a complete waste of time. That's no better than the coach that says, okay, everybody on the team is going to work out I want you in the weight room at, you know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and, you know, everybody's going to train. Well, if the coach is there and the coach has a program and the coach teaches the kids how to do the exercises and has them follow a program and requires that they follow a program and the coach is there every day, then it's one thing. It's a good thing. But if the coach simply says, go to the weight room and you know, stay there for an hour, stay there for 90 minutes, what you're going to have is you're going to have some kids are serious and they're going to follow a more or less productive program. You're going to have a lot of kids who just stand there and screw around. You're going to have a lot of guys who go wander off and look for the cheerleading team and just hang around watching the cheerleaders. And I'm using that example because, you know, I was of an age when I was training in a high school gym, and I know exactly how it works. That's right. Where most of the guys left. And, you know, frankly, Carl, I thought that was fine because that, you know, that meant I had more room to do the stuff that I wanted
right,
to do.
Right.
You know, we had one power rack, and if everyone else was going, you know, going next door watching the cheerleaders, that was fine because that meant that I had the power rack. But, you know, a coach has to supervise, and a coach has to program what the kids are doing, and that's really, really critical. And a parent has to do the same thing. And hopefully the people who are listening to Superhuman Radio, you know a heck of a lot more about training than most people. And you have a very good idea about what to do for a young beginner, a rookie, a complete novice. And, you know, that's what you want to do. You want to do a very short, simple workout, one exercise per major muscle group, total of 7, 8, 9, 10 exercises. And that's going to include sit-ups and leg raises for the stomach and, you know, some of the smaller muscle groups. But, you know, you're going to have a total of 8, 9, 10, 11, maybe 12 different exercises. Light weights on each. Going to be basic movements, things like squat, deadlift, press, bent over row, pull-ups, push-ups, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
Whole program, one set each. And you're going to use the classic York training method. Works best on this. And what you do is you start out with 5 reps for the upper body exercises, 10 reps for the lower body exercises. Next workout, keep the weights the same, still do one set, but add 1 rep.
Hmm. So that's how you do your progressive loading.
That's how you do the progressive loading. Now, if you want, go really light on the lower body exercises, squats and deadlifts, and add 2 reps. Mm-hmm. Okay, but you want it easy. And what you do is you take them from 5 reps to 10 reps for the upper body. For the lower body, you take them 10 reps to 20 reps.
And then you add weight and come back down again and start over.
You add a very, very, very small amount of weight. You bring them back down and you build back up. And one thing that you do in there is you are very, very gradually strengthening those young muscles, young bones, young tendons, young ligaments at a very slow but steady, manageable pace. And the other thing is, you're making every workout more progressive, which makes it more fun.
Right.
And you're teaching them about progression and about success.
And success. That's the important thing. Because if they kids lose interest right away if they can't do something. Look at how many kids go and find the cheat codes for video games online instead of even attempting to beat the video game, because as soon as they hit a level where they can't get past it, they go right to the internet and look for the cheat code. And that tells you something. It's not a flaw. They don't want to struggle against the tide. So don't make them struggle against the tide. Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about, there is an old saying that occurred when you and I were young men, mm-hmm. that starting to lift weights at a young age would stunt your growth. You remember that? Remember hearing that?
Yeah.
Okay. Don't give me your opinion yet. I want your opinion. And then after that, we're going to talk about diet. Is it too young? Or what is too young? Or when is too young for a child to say, okay, I want to make this workout productive. I want to build muscle. I want to start eating to build muscle. We're talking with Brooks Kubik, keeper of the flame of physical culture. We're talking about training young kids, indoctrinating them into the physical culture lifestyle. The website is brookskubik, K-U-B-I-K.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. It's interesting what we consider a reason to get angry.
He's a military strategist on health.
Merck, the pharmaceutical company, killed 55,000 people with Vioxx. They knew that it had a problem, and they sold it to people anyway, and 55,000 plus people died taking Vioxx.
He's Carl Lenore.
Why isn't this current administration going, we need to go to White House Station, New Jersey, where the Merck headquarters is, and send the military in there? We need to bomb Merck, because they killed 55,000 Americans knowing that they were going to kill 55,000 Americans.
On Superhuman Radio.
Where is the outrage about that?
New from Rob Regish. Purchase the Blueprint 3.0 today and lock in your free 3-month subscription to the Blueprint Bulletin. Find out what many in the BP Army already know. This is the best investment they've ever made. Includes the free Superhuman University, add 1 inch to your upper arms course, and 3 months of Blueprint Bulletin secrets to up your game. Click the Blueprint banner ad today or go to bodybuildingsupplements.com and purchase your ticket to Gainesville in the fast lane.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
You basically live life thanks to vitamin D. It affects every type of cell and tissue in your body. This is the reason optimizing your vitamin D blood level is essential for healthy living. The most efficient way to optimize your blood level is to take the perfect dose. And the most cost-effective way to determine the perfect dose is through vitamin D blood testing. The vitamin D test for Superhuman Radio is only $30, $17 cheaper than the lowest member price. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to order.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Bio Age banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
She take my money.
Work it, make it, do it. Makes us all the better, faster, stronger. Work it.
Welcome back. We're talking with Brooks Kubik. We've been talking about how young is too young or how old is the right age to start indoctrinating your child into physical culture. We've talked about the types of training programs that are appropriate, age appropriate. Brooks, when we were kids, there were two myths that went around, but one of them focused specifically on children. The first one was that lifting weights would make you muscle bound, and the image was a person who couldn't scratch his own chin. And the other one was that children should never lift weights because it would stunt their growth. The latter one, is there any evidence of that? You think that's there's any truth to that?
Well, you can affect the development of the bony plates in the knees and elsewhere in the body, elsewhere in the skeletal structure, which can have, if not a stunting effect, can definitely have an adverse effect on the development of young bones, young tendons, young ligaments. And you can do that by putting too much weight on top of the spine, on top of the shoulders, on top of the legs and the feet at a young age. And that's why, you know, as we're talking about this, I'm emphasizing, you know, start very light. Start extremely light. Now, you know, having said that, does weightlifting per se stunt your growth? There's no evidence of that at all. And there are plenty of tall people who have been lifting weights for, you know, pretty much most of their life, and they started when they were, you know, young teenagers. That's one of the old school myths. You know, it's weightlifting is going to stunt your growth. Weightlifting is going to make you muscle bound. You know, squats are going to destroy your knees. Weightlifting is going to destroy your athletic ability. You know, you're going to get a hernia. Weightlifters are all stupid. And
wait,
big guys weigh 400 pounds.
I'm stupid.
But you know, I mean, those myths have been out there forever, and you know, to some degree, they're still out there. But that doesn't affect the advice about don't push a kid too hard in training. And you know, you see these things on the internet. You know, these pictures of these, you know, 7, 8, 9-year-old boys, you know, with, you know,
ripped physiques,
yes. You know, they're showing abs, they're showing pecs, you know, and, you know, they're doing muscle poses. And,
there was that one kid whose father was, accused of, almost an abusive, relationship with his son. The kid was, he's been in several movies. I think he was even in Bigger, Faster, Stronger or something like that. Young kid. Ripped to shreds, hypermuscular, has amazing dexterity. His father was, I want to say his father was a trapeze artist or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, which, by the way, you see a lot of these young kids in the circus, especially in like trapeze artists and acrobatics. You know, they're 9, 10, 11 years old. They're ripped to shreds. They're hypermuscular. And, they're doing things that kids their age couldn't even dream of. So,
well, you know, number one, if you come from a circus background, you know, presumably there's a huge genetic component that's in play here.
Okay.
You know, I mean, you know, that's one thing. The other is none of us know the facts and the circumstances and what's really going on in any of those situations. So I don't want to focus on any particular situation.
Right.
But what, you know, what I do want to say is this. There's a time to be a kid. And then there's a time to transition into the serious training, the serious strength development. And, I really think it's better to let a kid be a kid and transition into the more serious stuff as they develop interest, as they start to become men and women. You know, when adolescence, when puberty starts to kick in, that's the time that the training really ought to take off and really get serious. And the advantage there, you know, number one, the boys all want to train because they want to get big because they want the girls to notice them.
Yeah, and the funny thing is the girls don't care about the guys being big. It's the other guys that care about the guys.
That's exactly right.
I know.
But the guys all
think. They don't know that.
If I looked like this guy over there with big muscles, I mean, you know, the girls would just be that, you know, that'd be it. I would be a total babe magnet. And they go out, you know, God bless them. I mean, we all did that. We all thought that. You know, we all had some little girl or a whole lot of little girls that we wanted to impress. And that's why we got training. You know, that's how the muscle magazines have sold training to young men and boys for, like, you know, day one.
Look at who was it a Charles Atlas that, you know, the guy kicks sand in the guy's face, a year later he comes back and he throws the guy down and takes the girl, carries her away?
Yeah, you know, the guy steals the girl and you know, that's what you know, motivates Charles Atlas to start training. Joe Weider had a great ad, you know, when I was a kid, muscle up and make out.
You saw
Larry Scott and Dave Draper, Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, and that was the tagline, muscle up and make out, you know, and, you know, these things make a tremendous impression on a young person. So you've got the motivation. But the other thing that is happening at that very same point in time, and they tie together, is your hormones are just starting to kick in.
Yeah.
And if you start training and you train the right way, when those hormones kick in and go into adolescent overdrive, and if you're training and that adolescent growth spurt hit at the same time, it will be the best training period of your entire life. You'll have just incredible gains, incredible results, and probably you'll end up being a lifelong strength and health person just because it was so effective when you were young. And, you know, that's the kid who enters high school weighing 115 pounds and graduates weighing 215. And the 215 is solid muscle. And, yeah. You know, or, you know, variations of that, whatever the variations are. But, you know, that 3, 4, 5 year period, that's the period of, you know, maximum gains, maximum growth, maximum response from training. And, you know, mom and dad, anything you can do to have your child train during that period of time, do it.
You know, and it really is true. And you know what the funny thing is? We wouldn't be having this discussion at all if the kid played football, right? Because the coaches would expect him to be in the weight room training.
Yeah,
and those
yeah,
the, and those are the kids who set the standards. See, what a lot of the kids, and I was one of those kids too. When I was really young, I was not imposing or muscular. In fact, up until I was 12 years old, I was pretty obese, to be honest with you. And the kids who played sports had great physiques. But I just thought the girls liked them because they had great physiques. The girls liked them because they played sports.
Exactly, exactly. Well, you know, which is why so many guys start playing sports. You know, once again, it's the factor of, I want that cute little girl over there to notice me. I want her to look at me. You know, and thank God the girls weren't really very interested, or else they were smart enough to pretend they weren't interested.
Right.
You know, because that's what got so many of us motivated to, you know, to really get into serious training and, you know, in many cases to become, you know, really good athletes.
Okay, we have to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about diet. So obviously I'm having this conversation yesterday with this young boy mm-hmm. who you can tell he wants muscle. He said the words, mm-hmm. I'm working out, but I'm not getting any more muscular. And so now we're going to talk to him about nutrition. And then I held back a little bit and I thought, gee, I wonder if I'm making a mistake. I wonder what age is okay. Or is it okay to talk about nutrition? So I want to get your views on that when okay. we come back. We're talking with Brooks Kubik. The website is brookskubik.com. If you're an older guy like me and you want to get strong, you can follow Brooks' advice. Buy the dinosaur training guides today and add some amazing strength and size to yourself. And interestingly enough, I had this thought this morning, Brooks. There's a lot of people who complain that, you know, oh, I'm older now. I don't have what I used to have. Well, guess what? You're younger than you are going to be. So embrace this moment now as the moment that you can seize. I like that, don't you? All right, so
I like that.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
He's your personal watchdog.
Is anyone awake up at Capitol Hill?
Sniffing out the corruption in our healthcare policies.
You are literally selling the population of this wonderful country to a death sentence.
He's Carl Lenore.
What's wrong with you people?
On the Superhuman Radio Network.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the BioAge banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount. At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on SuperhumanRadio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
New from Rob Regish. Purchase the Blueprint 3.0 today and lock in your free 3-month subscription to the Blueprint Bulletin. Find out what many in the BP Army already know. This is the best investment they've ever made. Includes the free Superhuman University, add 1 inch to your upper arms course, and 3 months of Blueprint Bulletin secrets to up your game. Click the Blueprint banner ad today or go to bodybuildingsupplements.com and purchase your ticket to Gainesville in the fast lane.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on SuperhumanRadio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay, so at what age can you start talking to kids about nutrition? Is it dangerous to talk to them about nutrition? Are you going to make them neurotic about nutrition? Or if a child comes to you and says, look, I'm already going to the gym, going with my mom, I'm training hard. I mean, my triceps are sore from doing push-ups yesterday. But I'm not putting on any muscle. Is it okay to talk to them about the linkage between acquiring muscle and nutrition?
I think it absolutely is. I think it would be wrong not to do that. And, you know, again, I'm going to go back to the modeling. I mean, you know, children should start out understanding what foods are healthy by watching mom and dad or grandpa and grandma eat healthy foods. And modeling their behavior. And, you know, when we have our 5-year-old granddaughters, they're 5 years old now, but we've been doing this for a long time. When they come over, you know, they eat very healthy foods. And to the degree possible, they eat exactly the same things that we eat. And we make a big point about, wow, this is good. You know, salad is good. Uh-huh. Spinach is good. Oh, that's good, isn't it? You know? And we really, you know, and they, you know, they'll look at you and they'll say, mm-hmm, yeah, it's good, mm-hmm, do you like spinach? Yes, I like spinach. Well, you know, and if we get them, you know, if we get them over and they have time and can go out to the garden and, you know, pick their own and bring it in, wash it, eat it, I mean, that's great. So we're really trying to do that. And it's not in a sense of don't eat this, don't eat that, it's in a sense of this is good. Isn't it good? Yeah, it's good. Now, when the kids are older, and they're starting to work out, you know, you owe it to them to have a conversation about what foods build muscle. And you keep it really simple. You tell them about protein. You tell them about vegetables. You tell them, stay away from the sweets. I'm not going to tell you don't ever have sweets, but stay away from them. Minimal amount. You have to decide what you're going to do about milk. You know, you've got some people following paleo practices. You know, they really don't like
dairy.
Their children, having any dairy. You have others who think that there's a point in your life where you're probably going to do better staying away, but there's another point where it's okay. You know, you have to make your decision, make your choice on that. It's an individual decision. But you have to teach the kids to focus on the good foods. And to the degree that you can, keep the other stuff out of the house.
Yeah.
And do not get in the habit of rewarding behavior from any age, including a very early age, by taking the kids somewhere where they're going to eat fast food, where they're going to eat junk food, where they're going to, you know, have something that's just absolutely horrible for them as some kind of reward or some kind of, you know, comfort meal. And for God's sake, you know, don't give them candy, don't give them sweets, don't give them that kind of stuff as a reward. You know, that's sending a completely wrong, inappropriate message. Now, I have been doing, I started really serious training, you know, I was getting interested in it at age 9. I think I've shared the story about having very severe childhood asthma.
Right.
And I overcame it by running to school at age 9. So that was my physical culture beginning.
Well, wait. Before I want to make sure I'm clear about one other thing here.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I asked AJ how much he weighs. He said 100 pounds. So I said, well, you've got to eat 100 grams of protein a day. In your meals, you don't have to eat, you know, eat your normal 3 meals, but just make sure you're getting 100 grams of protein a day. Was that a mistake? Did I make a mistake suggesting that to him?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. I mean, you're keeping it pretty simple, aren't you?
Yeah.
What do you weigh? I weigh 100 pounds. Okay. AJ, protein builds muscle. And you measure protein in grams, and you have to have 1 gram for every pound of body weight. That's the minimum.
Right.
So for you, that's 100 grams. Now, let's sit down, let's figure out, do you know how many grams of protein are in an egg? I don't know. Well, depends on the size of the egg. 6 for a small egg, 7 for medium, 8 for a big egg. Okay, so if you have 2 eggs for breakfast and they're big eggs, how many grams of protein do you have? You have 16. Okay, so if you want a bit more, why don't you have 3 eggs? That'll give you 24. Now, you drink milk? Yes. Okay, glass of milk has 8 grams of protein. Okay. You know, so you work with them like that, and you get them, you know, a lot of people count calories, a lot of people count carb grams, fat grams, whatever, but, you know, at a certain age, when you're trying to get big and strong, you ought to be counting protein grams. You ought to be focused on that protein thing. And, you know, I've been doing that, you know, as I said, I started in physical culture at age 9, and I started training with weights at about age 11, and I was reading the muscle magazines there, and I was so serious about the diet part of it, you know, based on what I read from, you know, people like Bob Hoffman, for example. You know, I was so serious that I started doing a lot of my own cooking.
Really?
Yeah, and kept doing it forever after.
How did your parents feel about that? Did your mom and dad like that idea? Did they resent it? Did they try to tell you not to do it?
I think they probably thought it was funny, or it was just something,
cute,
some phase.
Novelty, yeah.
Yeah, you know,
oh, look
phase
how cute
is
Brooks
going
is
going
to cook his
yeah,
dinner tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, how cute.
Yeah, you know, but, you know, I was really serious about wanting, you know, healthy foods. And I remember I took the lead from Dr. Fred Tilney, who was the associate with Charles Atlas, who got the Charles Atlas courses going way back in the day.
Right.
And, you know, Dr. Tilney related how when he was a young boy growing up in England, he moved out of the family house and lived in a tent so that he could live a healthy lifestyle, which included healthy meals. And I thought, you know, Talk about
shunning your parents. I can't live with you two any longer because you live disgusting lives. I'm moving to the yard. I've got my tent already set up.
Well, see, that's why I've been emphasizing set a good, be a good model. So your kid doesn't move out and live in a tent.
at least
until they're old enough that you really want them to move out.
Yeah, that's great.
But, Carl, I think it's really, really important to have the conversation about nutrition and to focus on the foods to eat for health, for strength, for muscle. And that's a really important conversation. You can simplify it, but you've got to have that conversation.
And see, and this is why I think it's really important, right? So we're talking, Elisa and I are both talking with AJ, and I said, AJ, 85%, 80 to 85% of gaining muscle happens outside the gym. It's what you do outside the gym. I said it's you have to eat a certain way, and you have to make sure you get good sleep, which I know he is. His parents get him to bed early. And I said, you're at that age right now. You're primed to put on muscle. But it's not about how hard you work in the gym alone. It's about how hard you work in the gym and then the things you do outside the gym that are going to dictate whether or not you put on muscle. And so I kind of felt like, how can you tell a kid, work out, if you don't tell them the other part of the equation and eat differently?
I think you absolutely do both. What you don't want to do is you don't want to make the kid a basket case.
Yeah.
About food. And you have to understand, it's difficult enough being a preteen or a teenager, with all the different social issues and societal issues and fitting in and friends and school and, the whole bit. And you can't have some kind of diet that is so strict that your kid has no friends.
No.
And no social life. So you got to use your head. But you have to inculcate good habits. You have to do the right thing. And, one of your goals in life ought to be that the kids want to come over and eat dinner at your house because they like the kind of good, healthy food that is served at your house. Or they like coming over and hanging at your house because that's where the good stuff to eat is as opposed to the junk.
Right.
Kids are smart. They'll pick up on those things.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's why I think for young kids, I don't think it's as critical that they take fish oil or, I think if you can get a child to just get the protein intake down along with everything else that they love to eat alone, they're going to gain muscle. If they just get the protein intake down, I think that's with them. And that's why I wasn't going to, you want 50, 30, 20, 30% carb. It's like, no. Just get 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight in. This is where the magic starts happening because a little bit of sugar spikes insulin with a kid. Yeah, okay. But that might not be the worst thing in the world if they are training right now and they're getting their protein and they're not overdoing it. In this kid's case, he's very in good shape. He's not overweight. So I'm not worried about him. Oh, well, you're getting too much sugar. He's getting a minimal amount of sugar in his diet already because his mom and dad are very conscious of that sort of stuff. But the magic for him and the magic for young kids in general, I have to believe, is getting enough protein to build muscle.
Yeah, if they start focusing on protein and they are also doing progressive training on the basic compound exercises, including, in particular, squats and deadlifts, leg and back training, they will trigger lots and lots and lots of growth and development.
Yeah.
It's real simple. If they do those things, it's just amazing. I mean, you will see, a boy literally become a man from a physical point of view very, very quickly.
Yeah.
It's just
exciting.
Remarkable.
And you know what? And I think this is the greatest gift you can give to your kids. Everybody's always talking about, I want to give my kids what I didn't have. I want them to have a good education. I want them to own a home early in life. I want them to have a good car. I want them to, And you know what? You want to give something to your kid that you didn't have? Give them a beginning in physical culture and ancestral health now when they're 9, 10, 11, 12 years old because I got news for you. Cars mean nothing. Educations mean nothing. You know, the quality of the home you live in means nothing when you're fighting for your life because you're sick and ill and going to doctors constantly. Okay? Give your child the most important gift in the world. This is it. It's, you know, abundant health, abundant strength, and that bleeds into everything else in their lives. Everything else. So, anyway,
well,
I think
well said.
We've covered it. Is there anything else that you feel we need to cover as, you know, before we close on this topic?
Well, one thing that I want to do, for people who are not familiar with my books, the best book for someone, who's starting out at any age, but in particular, the younger people that we're talking about, Chalk and Sweat, which has 10 progressively more challenging training programs for beginners. And they're simple programs, simple equipment, simple progression systems, but, you know, those are the ones to take a look at to get someone started. If you're interested in bodyweight training, either, you know, for yourself or for a young adult, young person, Dinosaur Bodyweight Training is, you know, a great resource. And the other thing, I'm going to throw this out, and this is kind of interesting because a lot of readers are, you know, have been thinking of this one on their own over the years, but Legacy of Iron is a novel that is set in the late 1930s. It is about a pathetically skinny, scrawny kid who desperately needs muscle. And it's like, in his case, literally a matter of life and death. He ends up meeting a man who changes his life by getting him started on a basic, simple strength training program. And then that man takes him to York, Pennsylvania, the mecca of the physical culture world. And the kid meets Bob Hoffman. He meets Harry Paschal. He meets Gracie Bard. He meets Steve Stanko, the then strongest man in the world. And he meets John Grimmick. And they all sort of become Dutch uncles to him. And he starts to mold his behavior at that critical age where he's changing from boy to man, physically, mentally, emotionally. He starts to model it on these men. And they know very well that they are role models, not only for him, but for thousands, tens of thousands of people, or of young people around the world. They know that, they understand that, and they consciously accept that challenge. And what I do in the book is I use real stories, real things that happen to these men, and turn them into scenes in the book so that what you're reading about is not something that I dreamed up, it's something that really happened, and I know it happened because I saw a report of it in an old issue of Strength and Health or whatever. And, you know, and it becomes a fascinating story about the things that we can do to get young people indoctrinated, inculcated in physical culture. And it's something that a lot of people accepted as part of being an adult, part of their responsibility back in the day. I think less people accept it now, which is a shame. But it's a great book for an adult to read, to look at, to think, what can I do to be a better role model? And I'll tell you what, if you've got a 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old young person who's interested in this stuff, wants to get going, and you want to give them some good role models, it's an easy read for that young person.
Yeah.
And just could be a game changer.
And you know what I was thinking, too, when you were talking about it? I would suggest to parents to get both Chalk and Sweat and Dinosaur Bodyweight Training, and here's why. We live in a world of a new phenomenon called the modern family. So maybe your child spends time with you and then with his mom or vice versa. And so you're taking the child, you have a gym at home, and the child can train at the gym at home with you, or you're taking the child to the gym with you, but then when they're with your ex, they are not as committed to this mission as you are. Maybe even they don't even like the mission. Who knows?
Yeah.
So when the child is in the environment where they have access and support in this mission, they go to the gym with you or they work out in their home gym. And when they're not, they can apply body weight training as an on-system, off-system. So, you know, maybe 1 week they train this way and the next week they train that way. But the bottom line is, I think you get both books. Teach your child how to also be able to work out when they're away at day camp and they don't have weights and these other things. This is where the dinosaur body weight training could come in. What do you think of that statement?
I think that's a very, very good statement. And I hadn't been focused on the modern family, as you put it, but you're exactly right. I mean, you know, being a role model is difficult if you're the full-time role model, and it's even more difficult if it's a part-time issue.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. These are real-world things that you have to think about. You know, we all have to think about them. But, you know, by God, we owe it to our kids, and we owe it to the kids to give them every advantage in life. And strength and health and fitness are at the top of the list.
25.8 million children in the United States today have type 2 diabetes. Not type 1, type 2 diabetes.
Yeah, well, we have failed our children with
yes.
statistics like that.
Ensure that your child is not one of those children. In fact, ensure that your genes continue, your lineage continues as we move forward 100, 200 years from now by teaching your child, indoctrinating your child into loving both physical culture and ancestral diets. Brooks Kubik, thank you so much for coming on. Great topic, and hopefully a lot of parents will even let their children listen to this one-hour interview on this. Oh, Mom, I don't want to listen to that show. It's so boring. Well, maybe not this time.
It was a pretty good show, and that's a good idea. Thanks for asking me on for this one. Really enjoyed it, and as you said, great topic, and one that you know we may need to cover more in the future, or you may need to cover with other guests. It's just so critically important.
Also want to thank Dr. Vivian Shelton for coming on. Her website is evolutionarywellbeing.org. Learn more about how ancestral health is influencing mental health. Fantastic discussion. Thanks, Brooks.
Thanks, Carl.
Okay, and we'll see everybody tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
There's something comforting about knowing he's out there.
Government is in place because it assumes that people are too stupid to care for themselves.
By your side.
Government has to take up the parental role of teaching people what to do.
Fighting the good fight.
Government has to get out of people's pantries, first of all. They can't legislate health.
He's Carl Lenore on Superhuman Radio.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars